What is important is it's so wonderful to know that we cannot get enough of God. God is amazing. And if you feel sometimes going into December, the December blues, and we're going to be talking about that in a moment, I pray and I bring words of encouragement to you this morning here from Mission Village Church. My name is Pastor Gino. It says that on my license, Pastor, first name, Gino, last name. Just kidding. I do have the great, great privilege of being lead pastor here. And we have a great team. We have a great body here. And I'm so excited about December. How many are excited about December? Anybody? Be honest. Maybe some people are like, woo, woo, but they're not sure because then the grind starts, right? You got your Christmas list and yada, yada, yada. But before we get into all that, I want to make sure we realize that the simple answer to everything in life is Jesus. Now, the details, you have to dig them out, but the simplest answer to your existence and to your purpose can be summed up in one word, and that's Jesus. Jesus is the answer. And in this month, I'd like to really focus on and believe for the Christian believer that Christmas, this Christmas time as we've titled it, you know, Jesus is the reason why we celebrate this. And so we're starting a new series this morning just for a little while. The title of it is Christ Before Christmas. Why Jesus is the reason for the season. Now, not to confuse you, but I really want to focus this morning on why Christ was before Christmas. And why Christ has to come before Christmas. And you'll understand what I'm trying to talk about, hopefully, in just a little while. So let's pray. Let's really dig down deep this morning. Remember, this isn't a lecture. This isn't a talk. This isn't a pep rally. This isn't just a go do my time, hopefully, and then get out and go feel better about myself. What this is this morning is that God has us together, and because you are here, you are creating a spiritual environment that God thrives in. And by you being here, it rubs off on somebody else's soul that needs something from God. And the Bible says that together, when we worship together, when we gather together, there's energy, there's power, there's a limitless power from God this morning. So what do you need this morning? What do you need to get through this December? What are you going through? God has an answer for you this morning. Amen? So with that type of faith, let's pray together. Dear God, we have come before you. You've been here. You've been waiting for this gathering that happens traditionally on Sunday morning. And you're anticipating doing something new, not the same old thing. Not just mixing up things and presenting it in a new package, but it's the same thing. No, it's the Bible says it's something new. However, we, as the body of Christ, have to come anticipating, have to come hungry, have to come expecting and almost demanding that God be present. You know, you taught us in Scripture that we are to enter the throne room of God now with boldness. We have authority. We are not slaves. We are not stepchildren. We are not outcasts. But we are your sons. We are your daughters. We have that intimacy with you through Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross. Again, it all boils down to one beautiful name, Jesus. We anticipate you speaking to us this morning. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for the people. Thank you for the place to have worship. And I pray you bless these words in Jesus Christ's name. We pray. Amen. Well, yeah, I am very excited this morning to be here because I have a purpose in my life, and I hope you do too. I know we struggle sometimes with that. Sometimes we think that we're insignificant. Sometimes we think that no one cares. And we sometimes hide it by putting on fake But I want you to understand that this is a safe area this morning. God knows where you're at. God loves you more than you'll ever understand. Just partake and walk with him. He knows your individuality. He knows your highs. He knows your lows. He knows your imperfections. And in spite of all that, he loves you. That in and of itself is powerful, right? Amen. So, Christ before Christmas. I want to read out of Luke chapter 2, verse 11. And if you brought your Bibles, turn to that, please. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. I went to a church last Sunday in Tucson, Arizona. It would be considered a country church out in the out in the middle of the desert called Avra Valley. Anybody familiar with the Tucson area? Avra Valley is like where all the, and I say this with respect, country folk live, right? The non-city people. And they have cows and horses out there and things. And that's how I grew up with a bias. And so my parents told me they were going to this church that had been there for 30 years. And yeah, and I was challenged when I went there that they didn't display any of the scriptures on any screens, even though they had screens. And I was like, I get it. Everybody had like a, when they said, turn to your Bibles or whatever, you heard a, like, paper turning and stuff, you know. You didn't hear nothing on mine. I was like faster than all of them on my phone. My dad was sitting next to me. He's like, wow, you already got the scripture? And you hear people changing and stuff. Yeah, I said, because I believe in technology. But I was challenged that so many people brought their Bibles to church and to worship. And I was pleasantly pleased. So if you have your Bibles this morning, Luke chapter 10, verses 11, I gave you plenty of time. You should be there. Here we go. So Luke chapter 2, verse 11 says, reading out of the NIV, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. You know, a Savior is born is what's declared here. That's number one. He is the Messiah and he is the Lord. Don't miss that in Scripture. You know, this to paint the picture that is before this is that there were shepherds out in the field, as we all have heard the story of Christmas, the way that Jesus was declared to the earth to lowly shepherds. Interesting, isn't it? The declaration to all of humanity, probably the most important event the earth has ever had, was originally declared in person to a bunch of smelly, stinky shepherds. And that's not being negative. That's country folk. So they're going to say I'm sort of tying that together with what I was talking about earlier. But anyways, it's just amazing how God chooses the heart of the individual. Not the degree, not the social status, not the anything else you might want to put in to give you credentials with God. God always looks at the heart, the condition of the heart. I can't see your heart, thank God. I know I have a heart. Make sure you have a heartbeat. That means you have a heart, okay? It's working, hopefully. But supernaturally, God can see the heart of an individual. He can see what's going on in your mind and in your heart. And he always searches, the Bible says, to and fro to seek those that want to commune with him. So these shepherds, don't underestimate why he chose them. There was something very powerful, something very special about that group of people. And so they declared this, the three keys I wrote here, three keys to why this child would change the earth forever. It was a declaration to the world, the very first of its kind. Number one, they said he is the Savior. What Savior? You know, if you're falling off a cliff and you hang on by one hand, right, and someone comes and helps you out, you would probably say that you were my Savior, right? You know, not too long ago, I was walking in a parking lot with a coworker, and an electric vehicle was coming. Now, how many know electric vehicle is hard to hear? And so I was just jabbing away, going, whatever I was saying. And I just didn't hear a vehicle come in. I just started walking out around the street. He grabbed me, said, stop. And that vehicle went whew, just right by me. It would have just cleaned my clock. I said, man, I said, dude, you saved me there. I would have been hurting. You know, I'm 39, dude. I'm messed up and stuff, you know. Just kidding, I'm older than that. But some of you guys are like, is he joking or... If I would have said 29, then that probably would have went over better. But yeah, so in essence, you know, that's the root word of Savior. I was saved. That's the term that they're using here, that the Savior of humanity. But even though humanity is probably the greatest creation that God has created, it also entails everything about humanity and everything about the earth and everything on the earth and in the earth, everything, the whole universe is going to be saved. It's going to be put back. So he says he's the Savior. Number two, he is the Messiah. What's the terminology or definition of Messiah? Accepted leader of God's cause. This is the leader, the Messiah. You don't hear that term too often. And the good news is if you say Messiah, most people say, boom, Jesus, right? That's good. But you go to a foreign country, you go to a country where Christianity is of low influence, you say Messiah, and they're just going to say usually a leader of a movement or a group. That's the true definition. Number three, they declared him to be, he is the what? Lord. A Lord. I can't speak too fast this morning. To define true definition of Lord, one having power or authority over others. You know, that sort of like ruffles our feathers a little bit, I guess, because we're not from the kings and all those, you know, back in the old days. But we're talking about a Lord, meaning that there's a just and holy Lord that is so pure that you want to be under him. Amen? You know, people usually say, Jesus Christ is my Savior and what? Lord. Lord of my life. And that was a concept that these shepherds were probably like, wow. So let's keep going. And by the way, this is like these heavenly angels are there. And there's like, it's almost like this, just to paint that picture that I was talking about earlier. It's like these shepherds were out doing their job at night. They saw this star. They saw that it was over Bethlehem. It was an unusual look perhaps to them because they'd seen that night again, and all of a sudden there was this unusual activity going on in the skies. And how many ever been camping before? How many like camping, by the way? I'm not a huge fan of big camping. I'd rather camp in like a resort with woods. Right? That's almost the same. Go around the woods in the day and then go at home in jacuzzi. Okay. But the shepherds were used to being, and my whole point is when you're in the woods and the city lights from metropolitan areas are gone, it's so different. When you sit there and look at the sky, it's like, whoa, it's so amazing. I remember we were with my daughter, and she realized, whoa, what is that? It was like you could see the galaxy. I mean, it was amazing. And so I'm pretty much sure that these shepherds were like that, and they were intrigued, and all of a sudden, this heavenly chorus. And these angelic beings, like, appeared out of nowhere to do what? To declare to the world that things are about to change. There's coming a Savior, a Lord, a Messiah. And it was loud, and it was like, wow. And it was almost like God set up this great Uber service, and they dropped off Jesus from heaven. And boom, it was gone. I wonder what it was like. It was like the shepherds were like, wow, we got to go find this kid. This is an amazing event. This is going to change the world. Luke chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. Listen to this. They continued, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. They gave distinct details about this child. You are going to find him in a manger. He's going to be wrapped in cloths or clothes of lowly proportions. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in heaven, on the earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." You know, I wrote here, who is this heavenly host with an angel? Remember, the angel was speaking. You know, the angel wasn't identified, but it definitely was a chosen being. And there was a heavenly chorus, a heavenly host, declaring God's heaven, indicating a heavenly being. A heavenly being has arrived. It's pretty powerful stuff. Do you see anything about Christmas presents here? Help me out, okay? Do you see anything about Santa Claus? Don't misunderstand me. I get into all that cool stuff too. But I really want to point to the origin of why it was so important to keep Christ before the cultural Christmas. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest. Don't miss that. That is a major statement. Glory to God, the angels are saying, in the highest. You got to realize that this comes from the highest connection with God. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And I pulled that one out of the King James Version because I like that one. It means peace and goodwill towards humanity. Notice that it didn't say a whole lot about anything else except one very focal point was peace. Peace. Can I ask you this morning, do you have peace? Or do you have turmoil? Do you have stress that's such a heavy weight? You know, it's so interesting to me. And I know you guys think, well, you know, Gino, you probably never have a bad day like I've ever had. Right? If you're thinking that, don't. But do you realize that Christmas and this during this season, December, Thanksgiving, can be one of the most stressful times of the year? Does anybody agree with me on that? Has anybody ever, perhaps for reasons that are justifiable, I'm not saying all the reasons are silly, like not getting an Xbox or whatever for Black Friday, but I'm talking about the reality is that it can be a very stressful, difficult, hard time of the year. And some reasons are justifiable. I understand that. But this morning, I want to make sure we realize as the body of Christ, as believers, as people that want to emulate Jesus Christ, that we realize that we're going to be putting Jesus Christ first before Christmas. So going back to peace on earth, goodwill towards men. I was listening to the commercials that pop up all the time now on like TV or radio or whatever, and there was one, a particular casino in town, so I'm not a casino guy. I might go there for their buffets and all you can eat crab legs. But it was talking about presents, how they were going to be giving out presents at this casino for winning. You come to the casino as presents, and then he'd say something like about giving, and then he'd say presents again, and the whole message was about presents. Then what really stood out to me at the end of the commercial on this pitch on going to this casino, he said, and goodwill on earth, peace and goodwill, exactly like this, peace and goodwill, and pardon me for saying this, okay, but this is exactly what he said, peace and good whatever, and all that crap. Holy smokes, I was like, and I don't usually get offended at religious sort of knocks or whatever, but he was saying peace and goodwill and all that crap. And I was like, whoa. And he goes, and then he went back to presents. And I was really challenged because I think that our culture has no idea that Christ is in the very root of the word Christmas. And it's not a bunch of crap. It was something that changed the whole dynamic of the world. And we get so commercialized and so pulled into it, I included, that sometimes you just got to take a step back and realize, go back to the original time where those shepherds were and say, oh man, it's all about peace. Why did he focus on peace? That was the message. Because he knew that we were going to create this other celebration to mimic it and get caught up into it. He knew his children would struggle with that. That's my belief. Peace. Did you realize that peace is mentioned 429 times in the Bible? A form of peace. Peace. So before we start this officially, which we already did, this holiday season, I want you to realize, I want everyone in this room to realize that you could stand upon the peace of Jesus Christ this morning. Stand upon his peace. And walk through this time knowing that it's you and him. And when you know him, you know peace. Amen? I don't know what that is. Do you think peace is an important value to God? What is peace? To me, just personally, peace is a way of life. Peace is the fabric of who I am in Jesus Christ. Peace is something that's inner, deep within me. Is that my mic or is that something outside, you think? Is that somebody playing a trumpet out there practicing? Okay, as long as it doesn't bother you, it won't bother me. What is peace? Jesus wants you to have peace. Remember, he focused on that. This message to the shepherds was peace, and it's going to be something that's going to guide you. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. You know, if you have your Bibles, I'll give you some time to get there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the first portion of it is the fruit of the Spirit. Anybody know what the fruit of the Spirit is? That's something you should be familiar with because it's in you. It's something that's powerfully in you. And we can either unlock it and like a fake peanuts with a snake popping out of it. That could be, we can open up these things in our life and stuff will just fly out because that's what God, or we can cap it and not allow the fruits of the Spirit to really thrive in our life and move in our life and make us and create us into the image of Jesus Christ. But he says here, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? What's the first one? Anybody? If you don't know, it's right here somewhere. I think it's right here. Love. But the fruit of the Spirit. It didn't say fruits, okay? It's one fruit that has all of this spiritually given to you, Jesus Christ. You have access to this fruit. You can allow this to become something part of your spiritual DNA, or you can choose not to have it if you want. But I guarantee you, God's going to try to make you have it. God's going to try to teach you because he's a father. He's a good father. He wants you to have it. He's going to get your attention. And so the first one is love. Well, love, that's powerful. And it isn't the love you have for pizza. I'm talking about it's the love you have that passes all understanding. Number two is joy. And lo and behold, there's peace on there too. How important is that? Peace. But you know what's so funny? This time of the year, oh my goodness. How many went Black Friday shopping? Anybody? Anybody? Man, you guys are really blessed. Well, I went to Petco, so that's a key word. Don't put the picture up yet, though. I went to Petco because I needed to get these 99-cent sweaters for my dogs, okay? I went at 5 in the morning. What are you guys looking at? Am I being hypocritical? I'm preaching about this, and then I went to Petco at 5 a.m.? Yeah, I'll pray afterwards. And I couldn't believe the craziness. It was even at Petco. So I took a picture of it. Can you guys show it, please? There was a picture. That's exactly what happened right there at PetSmart. That's actual footage right before it really got bad. As you know, I'm just kidding. You think I would get up at 5 in the morning and go get my dog some 99-cent sweaters? Please. I would go like at 8 a.m. or 10 maybe or something. I love them, but not that much. Come on. The whole reason I put that up there, and you can take that off now because it's super cute. But, you know, we're a chosen people, the Bible says. It even says we're peculiar, meaning that culture is going to look at us and say, they're peculiar. That's interesting that you don't associate yourself with culture like I do. The Bible even says that we're a holy people. Not W-H-O-L-L-Y, not that type. Not like Swiss cheese. That would be a different one, by the way. But we're holy, H-O-L-Y, or the true translation of holy simply means sanctified and set apart. Does that make sense? It's like Jesus sanctifies us, meaning cleanses us, then sets us apart from the rest. That's what he says. We're holy. We're peculiar people. People are going to look at us and go, well, they're sort of weird or peculiar. But peace is one of those things that's in the fruit of the Spirit, and that's what he wants. When you lay your head down to sleep at night, there is this inner peace that you can't explain. That's when you really, when that happens, that's when you really know you're maturing in Jesus Christ. Even though there could be like craziness going on in your life, and I'm not trying to stumble anyone this morning if you're not there. You know, God's got a journey for all of us. Amen? Aren't you glad that he's walking with each one of us and he's communicating with each one of us at a different time, different place, a different manner? Aren't you glad for that? That it's not just cookie cutter and everybody has to do this. I'm glad that he was the one that died upon the cross and I'm not the one that did. But with that in mind, he's now God enough to walk with each and every one of us through our individual lives and details and helps us in so many different ways that I think we sometimes take it for granted. Peace. You know that Jesus Christ is named the Prince of Peace? I think he's called the Prince of Peace for reasons, right? So if we're wanting to partake in his body, we took this morning symbolically, we're taking part of what he did, and we took part of his body. Well, guess what? We can take part of the peace that he has for us. You know, I was reading something in all kinds of the internet articles about how this time of the year is considered the most strenuous time of the year, the Christmas season. I even read a study that said that more heart attacks happen during this time of the year than you would think like other holidays. Isn't that crazy? Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, I'm sure you know, but do yourself a favor. Put Christ before Christmas. What do you mean by that? You keep saying that. We're getting closer. Let me explain what I mean. You know, I wrote here, Christmas no longer signifies Christ only in our culture, but now it has its own identity. You know, it has its own way of standing on its own. Do you know there's a lot of people in this season that when you say Christmas won't even think about a manger? When you say Christmas, Merry Christmas, won't even think about shepherds in the field or the wise men that came to give honor to the boy God, right? Our culture has created Christmas as its own identity. It has no tie. And this is the kicker. Even though Christ is in the very root of the word Christmas. Crazy, isn't it? And I'm not one of those people that like conspiracy theories or whatever, but I remember a while ago there was this group that said, you know, taking Christ out of Christmas, and then people will write Merry Christmas and they'll put an X over Christ and M-A-S. You ever see that before? Like somebody says Merry and then X mess, right? I remember when I first saw that, I was like, wow, is that just like as front to your face as possible, the spiritual implication behind that? I know it wasn't probably intended to that, but man, just take Christ out of Christmas. And unfortunately, that's what is why, and that these are the reasons I'm bringing up, is why we struggle with having peace in our life during this time of year, because we have become so commercialized, we've become so with the rat race, trying to stay out of debt, trying to get that right present for the person. Hope it's not another kid or anything. Okay, it's just the wind. It's chilly in here, isn't it? Let me close this. Anyway, so what are we going to do this Christmas? We're going to keep Christ in Christmas. Amen. We're going to keep Christ, and he's going to be before the word Christmas. Because Christmas, like I said, has its own identity. It stands on its own. And we're going to go back and see Christ in Christmas. Check this out. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. If you have your Bibles. And the reason I was bringing up this scripture is because it really talks about, I believe, unfortunately, how culture has become. And Timothy, which actually this was a letter to Timothy from Paul. So Timothy wasn't the writer of this. Paul was. And he says to him this in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5. He says this. Paul says this. He says, but mark this, note this, understand this, Timothy. There will be terrible times in the last days. Did Paul get to see the last days? No. So are we living in the last days? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, we're closer to his coming. We're closer to the return of Jesus Christ than we've ever been, right? Can we all agree on that? So let's just look at our culture just for a moment, this time of the year, and let's just see if this has anything to do with this, or if we can relate some of these emotions and actions. He says, there will be terrible times in the last days. Listen to this. People will be lovers of themselves. Man, Christmas is all about loving yourself. I remember as a teenager, my parents did not get what I wanted on my Christmas list. And I remember, and that was like my daughter's age. This is embarrassing. I was like 14, high schooler. My parents did not get me what I wanted. And I remember opening the presents and gathering them up, walking to my room, closing the door, and just screaming and in anger because I did not get. Wasn't that horrible? I needed to get saved. What a spoiled brat baby. I know none of you have ever done that. And I'm thankful, but I have, and I need grace more than everyone. But he says, people will be lovers of themselves. Man, we were at a hockey game on Friday, and this young lady in front of me, I was distracted at how many pictures she took of herself. It was like this. And I was like sitting a few seats, and I, every time it just drew my attention because she's always a, like, oh my God. I said, how many pictures, how much do you love yourself? And I'm just joking. I don't know if she really loves herself. Maybe she's posting for her parents or something. I don't know. But anyways, he says here, lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Man, talk about how much money is spent during Christmas. I'm telling you, the retailers and those that do that type of business, business. They wait all year to jump on it. Doesn't it seem like there was a sacredness just up until about a few years where Thanksgiving was actually holy? There was no shopping that went on Thanksgiving. And now they're like, forget Thanksgiving. Come in Thanksgiving Eve, you know, or pre-Thanksgiving. Lovers of money. What was that? After Halloween. Here it comes. I mean, I'm talking the second Halloween is over. Boom. There's a Christmas tree right in front of your face. Wow. Because they want you to buy it. Lovers of money, he says. He says this. Boastful. Proud. Abusive. And that was my Petco. Those dogs were abusive towards each other, trying to get to the Black Friday specials. Listen to this one. Disobedient to their parents. You know, that's a deep one right there. You could stop and park that one for a second. It doesn't necessarily mean that when you were 13, your mother said, go clean your room, and you were disobedient. No, it's deeper than that. It's growing up and disregarding and disrespecting your parents for the values that they placed upon you in your life. You know, with our words, we can criticize and tear up our upbringing. That's what he's talking about, disobedient to your parents. Listen to this one, ungrateful, like me. I remember another time, this has happened multiple times in my life. Another time, when I was younger, my aunt brought me a present, and it was wrapped in like fluffy paper, and it looked like underwear. You know the feeling, guys, right? You're 9 or 8 years old, you want something to play with, not whitey tidies. Well, you might want whitey tidies now, but I'm saying back then that wasn't on my mind. And my aunt brought the present like this, and it looked like a fluffy present that had to have stupid clothes in it. And my mom was so embarrassed. I wish she would have broke the chocolate out and beat the daylights out of me that day. And I just was like, threw myself like crying, and my aunt's like, open it. And I opened it, and it was like a cool Tonka truck. I was like, okay, all right. Things are getting better. I made a complete you-know-what out of myself, but that's what 9-year-olds do. Ungrateful. Unholy. Here's this. Here's another one. These are all powerful. Without love. Man, during this time of year, sometimes people can be the rudest you've ever seen and the nicest in the same day. It's crazy. Unforgiving. Do we live in a culture that's unforgiving? Oh, you better believe it. You do one thing, man, they will just slander you with it. Why? Because that's the culture. This culture has created its own identity without Christ. It stands alone. It's its own thing. It has its own identity now. Without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. Man, doesn't that talk about our society today? Brutal. Not lovers of good. Treacherous. I'm not trying to take us down like this, but I just want to get to this. Rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It's interesting how those two were a contrary. Don't miss that this morning. Why would he say lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God? It's almost like he's saying, because you're going to read in the next sentence here, he's speaking to the religious body out there. Check this out. Having, very next sentence, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Woo! That's powerful. You know, there's a recognition of the nativity scene, but we deny what that child did to start on that nativity scene. Do you get what I'm saying this morning? There's an acknowledgement of a baby being born in Bethlehem, but there's a denying of the power that transformed the human life. That's what he's talking about here in the last days. Interesting. It just reminds me, of our culture, how we don't want to be that way. We want to keep Christ first because, remember, Christ came before Christmas. There's another image I wanted to show. This is so much like, it's the fake smile image. You guys have that one up there? Fake smiles, everyone. It's Christmas. You know, one of the reasons that if the worship group wants to come on up now, please, I'm tying this to an end. But one of the reasons that Christmas, they say, is, and these are statistics, these are studies, this isn't just something I'm just saying. One of the reasons that it's so stressful is because we have to see people we don't normally see. We have to hang out with family we don't necessarily like. We have to be around and do things that we don't want to normally do, like go to parties or go to gatherings or go to whatever social events, right? And it creates anxiety in our hearts. And so that's why I brought that out. Fake smiles, everybody. But you know what? It doesn't have to be fake. Because we have the peace of Jesus Christ living in our hearts. So my question is, we're going to have some next steps this morning. So let's close our eyes right now. Just I want to end with a prayer, and I want to talk to you one-on-one now. We've talked corporately. We've talked allowing the Holy Spirit to just slowly break open the Word of God for us. So it's just out of respect for each other and the Lord and His presence here, which He's here, regardless if you think so or not, He is here. I want to ask you something this morning. Where is that peace that I was talking about? Where is peace in your life during this transition? Why would you call December and the holidays a transition? Because a transition means an ending and the beginning of something. And that middle time. And right now we're all transitioning out of Thanksgiving and getting into the holiday spirit, as they say. There's a period of time where we have to adjust. And if you make that adjustment correctly, then you should be fine. But you see, as we pray right now, we're in an atmosphere of prayer this morning. People are getting caught up in the transition right now. And unfortunately, Christians get stumbled during the transition and realize that from the beginning, we need to realize that Christ comes before Christmas. Before there ever was a tree signifying Merry Christmas, before there ever was a present underneath a tree, before ever there was a connection with Santa Claus and ho 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 and all these different things in their rightful place, those are okay. But before all of that, there was a baby in a manger. There was a declaration that peace on earth, goodwill towards all humanity, for a Savior is born, the Lord God Almighty. He is the Redeemer. And during this transition, if you're still in that place right now, I pray that you take a step back spiritually. Take a deep breath, breathe out, and say, "Dear God, I want to make sure I keep Christ before what the world says is Christmas." Because I'm not interested in what the world calls Christmas. What we're interested in is celebrating the birth of a Savior. The God of the universe left heaven, lived on this earth 33 years estimated, died upon a cross. And during this holiday season, it's such a privilege to live in the United States because we can celebrate this, and we can celebrate it the way that Scripture says, and we put Christ before all of this, and it means something. And yes, it may get difficult. Yes, it may get stressful. Yes, you may struggle with certain things during this time of the year, but rest assured, as the angel declared it to you, as the angel declared it over 2,000 years ago to those shepherds, peace be upon you. The peace that this child will bring to you. And I want to make sure you have that. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name. No other name that I can simplify the answer to all the questions that you have from here into eternity. It's one word, one beautiful name, Jesus. So my prayer is this morning, dear Lord, that you would walk with us during this time. If there's someone here this morning that needs special prayer, I pray you answer their prayer. Guide them. Help them. Help them enjoy this month. And to remember that you're the Son of God. And it was your plan to be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.